The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
He turned to his disciples and he said, "Wake up and pray that you come not into temptation." He didn't say, "Pray you won't be tempted." He said, "You're going to get tempted. So pray that you won't come into it."
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
Temptation. It comes in a lot of different forms. You'll run across it in many situations. For instance, right now, I'm more than a little tempted to find and hurt the person who chose to put these temptations in front of me. But today we are all going to resist, and Joyce is going to help as she answers the question, how do I beat temptation?
Temptation is a fact of life. It's not about whether you will or won't be tempted, it's when you're tempted. When you're tempted, not if you're tempted, when you're tempted. And Jesus tells us plainly in his model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer to pray, lead us not into temptation. He didn't say to pray that you won't be tempted, so just stop doing that. It's a waste of prayer time. The devil's alive and well on planet Earth, and various trials come into our life. Some of them are demonically induced, some are divinely permitted, and some are just messes we get ourselves into through our own foolishness. Can anybody say amen? Amen. But whatever they come for, they're a fact of life. And it's in those trials that we're tempted to do wrong things. Even if somebody is addicted to alcohol, the first thing they're going to want to do when they have a rough day is have a drink. If I used to be that way when I smoked cigarettes, I smoked them all day anyway, but especially if I was having a rough time, then I'd always want a cigarette. You know, we lean to our crutches when things become difficult. Well, there's many temptations that we have, and many of those temptations for the Christian, you may be beyond stealing and lying and murder and adultery and some of those things, hopefully, prayerfully. If not, you really need to be here, and I'm really glad that you're here. But a lot of our temptation is, you know, we don't want to be tempted to be bitter and resentful and jealous and greedy and stingy and selfish and self-centered and full of self-pity. We don't want to be tempted to disobey God and to not care about other people and to not be part of relieving the injustices around the world. The greatest temptation that we will ever have is to be selfish and self-centered and not care about anybody else except our own self. Can I get a good amen this morning? So there's temptation everywhere. It's for sure that Jesus never said to pray that you won't be tempted. He said, pray that you won't come into temptation. In Luke 22 and verse 40 and 46, we see the same thing when he was in his greatest hour of temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane, being very tempted to run away from the will of God. God, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. He did not want to go through that. It was unbelievably painful, but he prayed through. And he turned to his disciples and he said, wake up and pray that you come not into temptation. He didn't say, pray you won't be tempted. He said, you're going to get tempted. So pray that you won't come into it. And I'm going to say that over and over this weekend, because I believe that is something that we don't do. I don't think we pray ahead of time enough about the areas in our lives that are weaknesses. One of the reasons why we don't is because we don't ever take the trouble to know ourselves. How well do you know yourself? If I said to you, what are your top five weaknesses? You should be able to rattle them off just like that. Not because you sit around and think about what's wrong with you all the time. I don't encourage that. But we need to know the areas where we're weak. Because if we don't know the areas where we're weak, then the enemy is going to deceive us, because I can tell you right now that he knows the areas where you're weak. And I always say the devil sets us up. He baits us. And arranges circumstances sometimes and situations that are going to push our buttons. And sometimes, many times, God does not remove those things from our life when we'd like Him to, because He wants those things to keep coming up and keep coming up and keep coming up until we finally get so fed up with them that we say, I am not going to go around this mountain one more time. I am not going to spend one more night in the wilderness. God, whatever it takes, I want you to do something in me, not in somebody else, but I want you to do something in me so I can be the stable person that you want me to be. Amen. So know yourself. Some people have quick tempers. If you do, then you need to be honest about that. God, I have a really quick temper. A lot of things make me mad a lot quicker than they should. You need to say to the Lord real openly, and I don't want to stay like this. Well, God will help you if you want Him to. You'll need to study in that area. It's not going to do you any good to listen to a teaching tape on prosperity if you've got a bad temper. Did you hear me? You don't need to get the book on 6 steps to success if you've got a lousy temper and you're full of all kinds of unforgiveness and bitterness from the past. Amen?
So we've learned that we need to pray that we won't give in to temptation, and we also need to know ourselves well enough to know what to do when we are tempted. Right now, I know that I need to just walk away from this chocolate, so it's a good thing that it's time to hear your voice. We love hearing what you have to say on social media. We asked you to share with us, what has God changed about you? We got so many great responses. This is Rodney from Washington, D.C. Rodney says, I used drugs and alcohol for years. One day I started crying. The pain was too great from being separate from God and family. I cried out and He heard my prayers, and I haven't had a drink or any drugs in 8 years. Rodney, that's great. Janice from Georgia says, my faith has increased. I've had cancer twice and learned that worrying does not help. I trust God and I keep moving forward. We'll be praying for you, Janice. Let's do one more. This is from Laura. Laura says, God has changed my whole way of thinking. He has shown me His mercy, love, patience, steadfastness, and forgiveness. Since I know how it feels to be on the receiving end, now I'm able to give that away to others. We want to hear your voice, so let us know your thoughts on social media. Laura just shared with us that God's forgiveness has really helped hers. So this week, we would like to know from you, how has forgiving others affected your life? Share with us on Facebook, on Twitter. You can use hashtag EA. That's really helpful. We just love to hear from you. And Joyce loves to get very practical. So now she's going to give us a few specific ways to beat temptation.
We'd like to look at Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And the first way to overcome temptation is to be wise. Don't be foolish, be wise. And I could give you a lot of fancy definitions for wisdom, but I personally believe that wisdom is doing now what you're going to be satisfied with later on. There are many people here today who have all kinds of issues in your life that leave you disappointed and wishing that you would have made other choices. So we have to learn from our bad choices and our lack of wisdom not to keep going around and around that same mountain all over again. We have to think. We have to think about what we're doing, when we're doing it, and say, what is going to be the result? Wisdom is common sense. It's just thinking about what you're doing. You know, if you spend more than you make, you're going to have problems. If you eat more calories than you're burning off, you're going to gain weight. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Godly wisdom learned by actual and costly experience. You know, we learn wisdom by going through things and doing dumb stuff and then realizing, well, this didn't get me a very good result, so maybe I'll do it another way. How many of you have lived long enough now that you've had some experiences? All right, well then why do we just keep doing the same thing over and over and over thinking we're going to get a different result? Lack of wisdom. The second thing that we can do that will help us overcome temptation is to believe that we can resist temptation. Now, this is simple, but I think a lot of times people look at problems in their life and they think, well, I just really hope that doesn't happen because when that happens, I always fall apart. Well, I just really hope that there's no dessert there because if there is, I cannot resist eating it. I mean, I hear people say this, I cannot just eat one cookie, I have to eat a dozen. Well, you know what? I don't mean to be rude, but that's just silly. I mean, you are born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, full of the God who created the universe, and you're telling me that a cookie is bossing you around? And I used to be like that, but I've learned that the words of my mouth are so important. Stop saying that you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. Stop saying, I just can't resist this. I can't control myself. I'm just not organized. I have no discipline in this area. Every time you do that, you're putting another nail in your own coffin and just spending one more night in the wilderness going around the same mountain again. You start believing that you can resist temptation. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. For no temptation, that's your temptation, my temptation, anybody's temptation. No temptation, no trial regarded as something that would entice us to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. Now, that simply means everybody gets tempted. Everybody out there has to learn this same lesson that we all get tempted. Let's put it back up, please. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. No. It doesn't say, except a plate of cookies. But when I go out shopping, I know that I shouldn't spend money, but I just get so tempted and I just can't resist it. Yes, you can, because God's given you a spirit of discipline and self-control. Let's see the rest of it. So no temptation has come to us that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as man can bear. Stop saying I can't stand this and say I can bear this. I can endure this. I can be consistent. I can be steadfast. Because why? The greater one lives in me.
Joyce will be back in just a few to explain one of the main reasons people have problems resisting temptations. But right now, our guest Leslie Griffin understands those temptations firsthand, and he had to stop saying, I can't, and begin believing I can. Leslie was a professional football player, had a very successful career following that as well, very lucrative, doing well. Ended up being also a drug dealer, which was very lucrative, and his life basically fell apart. And Leslie, thank you so much for sharing with us, because as I said, you do understand that temptation.
Yes, ma'am.
If life was so lucrative, so good, how did you know that you had to make a change?
God just met me in my mess. He met me in my mess and was telling me it's not who I am.
Yeah.
And I decided, you know what, I can't do this any longer. I gotta go.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't easy to leave, but I had to.
So you ended up going to a program to help you. Yes. You went to the Dream Center of Los Angeles.
Yes. Yes.
You were in a place where you had to give up everything to begin life again.
Yes.
What were those temptations for you that you were facing?
A lot of the temptation was just looking out the window, and where the LA Dream Center sits, it overlooks the skylines of downtown Los Angeles. And on the other side of that skyline is Skid Row. And that's where we did all of our dirt, and that's where we ran around at and sold our drugs. And it was just so easy for me just to walk out that door and just head across those skylines and back to my old crew again. And that temptation was so strong. We had guys coming into the discipleship program off the bus ministry that knew me from the streets.
Yeah.
And knew what I did on the streets. And they would fill me in on what's going on with my crew and what's going on down there and all the money that's floating around. And every day I had to get up each day to surrender to the Lord because it wasn't easy. His flesh was crying out. I wanted to go home. I wanted to go back to the pool of that lifestyle. I even had my mom tell me, boy, you need to come home. You have a house to take care of.
Yeah.
And I said, Mom, I can't. Because by that time, surrendering to God each and every day, those temptations, surrendering to God each and every day, the flesh, these fleshly desires, God kept showing me a better life and knowing I had something better. And I trusted him. I said, Mom, you have to trust me. I need this right now. I need God right now. I need this. And she finally said, Son, I trust you. Go ahead. We'll take care of the home. They got the car already, but we'll take care of the home. And you do what you have to do.
Isn't it interesting how the temptations in our life are those things that we know are not good for us, but seem so good to our flesh, you know, that it's what we want so badly. And yet, in the long term, they're normally the things that will take us to destruction.
No, the lure of that temptation, the lure of that lifestyle, God kept showing me, you will not survive. This is where you're going to end up. And he would even give me visions and dreams, showing me how my life was going to end had I given in to those temptations. So I started believing God and saying, no, God, I can do this. You know, I can. And every day I got up each morning and hit my knees, I said, God, I can do this. And God started assuring to me in my spirit that you can do all things through Christ who will strengthen you.
Yeah, exactly what Joyce was saying. Yes. We have to hold on to Scripture, hold on to what God's Word says.
Yes.
Tell me some of those daily choices that you had to make, because sometimes we can know the big picture. It'll be better if I make it through this, but sometimes it's that one moment, that one choice that you have to make that is so difficult. Yeah. How did you get through some of those moments?
Wow. It was many of those moments every day, but just trusting God and believing, you know, that he promised me he would get me through if I trust him. And so I believe that as long as I trust God through all the wrongs I may have saw in the home that was going on, all the desires to run back to these fleshly needs and the temptations of this flesh, and as long as I trust God through it all, that I would make it. I would make it. So I committed to that year, and each day was a different day. Nothing was the same. I had young guys. I was older, so I wasn't like in my teens then. I was in my mid-30s, and I had younger guys telling me when to wake up, when to go to sleep, when to eat, you know, when I could take my free time. And that wasn't easy.
Yeah.
That was not easy for me. Each day I was like, Lord, I'm out of here. And God said, no, you're not. He said, you can do it. I said, no, I can't. He said, yes, you can. I said, no, I can't. God said, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And so those temptations were just to get out of there and go home to my nice big bedroom with my big backyard, you know, my own home cooking.
Right,
you know,
right.
Those temptations were really strong just to get out of there and just go back to where it was comfortable for me.
Do you ever think about what your life may have been like today had you given in to those temptations?
All the time. And even though I never gave in to those temptations, they never stop.
Yeah.
They never stop. I mean, once you've dealt drugs and you've used drugs, the temptations never stop. But each day I choose not to go back to that lifestyle. Each day I choose not to go back to those drugs. Each day I choose to trust God. And it's been 13 years now, you know, and I know what my life would have been because I ended up going on the prison outreach with Brother Roy, who heads up the prison outreach for Joyce Meyer Inn. And we were in California doing the prisons. And in Tehachapi, we were walking through the prison yard, and I had all the Joyce Meyer books and soap and shampoo on a big dolly, and I'm with one of the COs, and I'm pushing the dolly, and I hear my name being called across the yard. And there was guys yelling, hey, Griff, Big Griff, Big Griff. And I look over, and there was some of my crew that I ran with.
Wow.
And so the CO says, do you know them? I say, yes. I said, back in my mess, we ran together. He's like, well, you want to go talk to them? I was like, well, can I? He's like, sure. So he took me over to the gate, and they all looked at me like, man, Big Griff, you look good, man. You look good. Man, well, you going to be a CO now? What are you doing up here? I said, no. I said, I work for Joyce Meyer Ministries now, and I'm here on the prison outreach. We came to bring you guys some gifts and some books, and we're going to have a service for you guys. He's like, man, we heard you guys come. We're looking forward to having you come. But we had no idea it was going to be you. Like, man, you looking good, Griff. Man, look good.
Wow.
And so I yelled across the yard. This is our boy right here. He played ball. He ran that ball. And he's kind of yelling across the yard. And so I'm like, man, Griff, can you pray for us? Can you please pray for us? And I looked at the CEO, and he's like, well, go ahead. And so they all put their fingers up on the gate. And all the other guys on the yard came and put their fingers up on the gate. And I just laid hands on them right there and just started praying for them.
Wow.
So I knew where my life was headed had I not had I given into those temptations. I thank God I did, because I was able to be a blessing to them and for them to see God's goodness in my life and how he changed me and give them some hope.
That is so beautiful. Yeah. Really, for God to give you that glimpse to see full circle of where you could have been, but yeah. where he brought you instead, his grace, and giving you the strength that you need to make those choices every day.
Amen.
Thank you, Leslie,
Amen.
So much.
You're
we
welcome.
Appreciate you very
You're
much.
Welcome,
You're awesome.
Teacher. You're welcome.
And we just want to be here to help you through those choices you are facing right now, too, that you can resist those temptations. What God's word says is the key. That's what you have to hold on to. So we want to equip you with more of that. We have this offer for you today. First, we have three CDs called Are You Resisting or Assisting the Devil? And this is going to tell you the plan that the devil has for your life, which is just the opposite of what God wants for you. And then this book called 8 Ways to Keep the Devil Under Your Feet. This book will just walk you through those steps that you need to win the battle that you're facing right now. So get your copy of these resources today, right now. Don't wait, and begin overcoming those temptations in your life. You can do it. Now Joyce explains how to solve one of our main problems with beating temptation.
The next thing you can do to defeat temptation is to be prepared. You're going to have to spend time with God if you want to walk through this world and not have the thing chew you up. You're going to have to know God. Know God. No wonder Paul said, "My determined purpose is that I may know him." Not know about him through somebody else, but know him personally for yourself, that I may know him. Now, you know, I'm really glad that you came to this conference, but I'd be even happier if you would, all those notes that you're taking, if you'd go home now and take every day next week and maybe take a half an hour or an hour, and you would study these notes and go over them and look up the scriptures and think about what we said and have a meeting with yourself. And say, now, I need to get to know myself, Lord, so it's time for me to begin to learn what all the stupid stuff is that the devil uses to steal my joy, and what it is that he uses to steal my peace, because I am not going to live like this anymore. I am not just going to go hear the sermons and go home and be no different. You don't change because you come and hear somebody else preach. You change because you apply it to your life, and you get to know God, and you study your Bible, and you take your time, and you spend time with God. I got up this morning and I spent 2 hours with God. Well, that's not going to help you if you don't get up and spend time with God. And see, there was probably even, and man, I don't want to make anybody feel bad because I'm so glad you're here, but I bet you there was a whole lot of people that got up this morning and you thought, well, I'll probably spend all the time with God. Oh, I don't need to do that. I'm going to go hear Joyce today. I don't replace your time with God. My TV program in the morning is not a replacement for God in your life. Don't put that on me. I don't want that responsibility. I'm trying to lead you to God, not away from him. I'm glad you watch my program in the morning. Get up, take a little bit of time, pray that what you hear you're going to understand. And I don't know what she's going to say today, Lord, but I want to be able to apply it to my life because I believe it's your word. Listen to what I say. Then when you go to lunch with somebody, instead of gossiping about the boss and everything you don't like at work, why don't you find another believer and discuss what I taught about that morning? This is how you do spiritual warfare. Be prepared. I think one of the main reasons why people have problems is they lean on themselves instead of on God. I mean, even in situations where, you know, when I first started hearing the word and I was really being confronted by the word of God and knowing that my behavior was wrong. As I said before, I went to church for a lot of years and just attended church and went home. Nothing ever changed in my life. But when I became a serious student of the word of God, not just reading it, but wanting to apply it to my life, it became very obvious to me very quick that I needed to change. But I didn't know some of the things that I'm telling you today. It took me a lot of years to figure it out. And so I spent a lot of years trying to change myself. I tried. I had plans. I had programs. I. See, I always wants to do it so I can get the credit for any success. I mean, I really suffered for a long time. I mean, the Bible tells us over and over that it's the humble that get the help, the proud and the haughty. He ignores until they humble themselves and ask for help. And I finally found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, where Paul said to the people, do you really think that after having received the Holy Spirit through the grace and the mercy of God, that you're now going to reach perfection by dependence on the flesh? See, you can't even change yourself. Whatever you hear here this weekend that you think, man, that's right, I'm convicted. Yep, I'm going to go home and change that. No, you won't. You're going about it the wrong way. You need to say, God, I'm going to write this down. I'm going to go home and start praying about this. I'm going to start studying in this area. And God, I need you to help me because I can't do it without you. I can't do it without you.
So remember, you can do this. Whatever it is that you are fighting, that temptation, you can do it because you are not doing it alone. It's not about your willpower. It's about the help that God is there to give you. That's why these resources will be so helpful to you. Call now to get these. Three CDs called Are You Resisting or Assisting the Devil? Great questions. Make sure you find out. And a book called 8 Ways to Keep the Devil Under Your Feet. You see, those temptations are all about what the enemy is throwing at you. So you have to conquer what he's trying to do and hold on to what Christ wants to do in your life. Right now, go to your website or pick up that phone and call us. Get these resources. It'll make a difference for you. We hope that you'll join us next week for Everyday Answers.
Come on, I'm wanting you to get an attitude of, okay, I'm just not going to lay down and just put up with this anymore. I'm going to press in like the woman who had the issue of blood. I'm going to press through the crowd, and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment and trust him for healing and wholeness.
Of course, if you have a question, you need to contact us. Do it right now on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskJoyce. You can also ask questions on Facebook. But remember, with every temptation, there is a way out. And God will happily show you that way, and he will not leave you. He will walk with you through it. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.